Welcome to Cornerstone. It's a little different this morning. You can get the whole crew up here, and I kind of want to just introduce what we're doing and talk about that just for a second. Then I'll get we'll kind of get into sharing a little bit. But this year, what we decided to do is to really focus on a theme for 2018, and that theme is really one word, and that word is connect. And that's really what we feel like God is leading us to emphasize as we enter into this new year. And this morning's going to be us explaining what that looks like in the different areas. And there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 10, two verses, 24 and 25, that have just been on my mind a lot. And really, as we've talked about connecting, this is really what God has kind of impressed upon us to share. And in Hebrews 10 says this, says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but let's encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I think that God, you know, that Jesus could come back at any time, and that we need to be ready, but it also, we need to have an urgency about what we do and why we do it. And so when we talk about connecting, we're going to really explain what that means, how we connect with God, how we connect with each other, how we connect with the world around us. And that's really what this morning is going to be about. Now, some of you know, some of you may not know, that Cornerstone is an elder-led church. What that means is that as pastor, I'm one of the elders, and together we lead the church. On stage here, you have the pastors of Cornerstone. We have one elder that's not on stage with us. He was here first service but couldn't stay for the second. That's Jack Jaylow. But the rest of it, we are the elders of the church. And together as an elder-led church, that means that I'm not the only pastor, that we're all, in essence, pastors. That's what the word elder in the New Testament, as you look at 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, talks about overseers, elders, the pastors of the church. And so together, we pastor the church. And so what I want to do, and just to help you guys get to know everyone a little bit better, I'm going to pass the mic around and just have them introduce themselves. And I'm just as kind of an icebreaker here, you can share how you got connected at Cornerstone. Which side do you want me to start on?
Randy went first last time, and we didn't think any of us were going to be able to talk because he went on forever. No, I'm kidding. So I'm Chris Waller. You guys see me up here almost every Sunday. My wife Brandy's the children's ministry leader. So how we got connected here is we actually some family friends. I think we might have visited here a time or two. I said in first service we had never been here, but I think we might have visited here a time or two. And then we got involved in a life group before we ever became kind of Cornerstone family. But the series was R12, if you guys remember that. Some of you guys been here for, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago. But really got connected through that, just through a family, and started coming to Cornerstone here every Sunday. And I thought it was kind of weird. We first came, we're like, man, they got coffee here. This is really not, you know, this is out of our comfort zone. We didn't know what to do with coffee, but we like coffee, so it worked out. And Tony's our favorite person here, so he does all the coffee. But no, we did. We just got connected through that, and just through a life group. And it's just important to get to know people in the church, and they can help you stay connected. So.
Hello, I'm Jason Sperlin, and I started coming because a good woman started coming, and I was chasing after her. So naturally, you know, this is where we ended up. So, yeah, you have to be fast. Yeah. after I started enjoying the service more once my hearing lost some of my hearing and I could actually interpret the music, so because I was used to going to a church that, you know, good old time music, so but it's an adjustment. So but it was all good. Started going with we started a life group, Bonnie and Travis Haynes. Friend of ours we've known for a long time, and so we went to their life group and got connected with other people in the church, so it, you know, just became more added to our family.
Cool. I guess I'll share a little bit too about how I ended up at Cornerstone. Some of you know, some of you may not. Cornerstone actually started in 2004, in June of 2004, so 13 years ago. I started coming in December. I'd been part-time youth leader at another church and felt God leading me into kind of into the unknown a little bit, that that he was leading me into to maybe full-time ministry. I thought that would be full-time youth ministry somewhere, so I'd stepped down from that position, was kind of in a waiting period, filling in preaching some places, putting in some job applications at other churches, even outside the area, and thinking, okay, God, what's next? And in that meantime, we had some friends, actually Bonnie and Travis invited us here, and we just came, Jennifer and I came here honestly to hide. We didn't really want to, at first we just wanted somewhere that we could kind of attend and kind of, you know, learn from God, learn from others, but not really do much until we could figure out what God was leading us to do next. But that didn't last long, because before long I was stacking chairs and helping run the sound, and then I was leading worship for the youth group. That's how desperate they were. Doing all sorts of stuff. And then, you know, leading communion in church, and then, hey, can you teach? Well, I don't know. You know, it's kind of, you know, filling in here. And then, you know, the first 3 years of Cornerstone, you may not know, we didn't have a full-time pastor. Just the elders kind of shared the responsibility. So after about 3 years, we grew to the point where we needed someone to come on staff. And that's when I kind of got tagged, and they said, Mike, you're it. And that's kind of how I ended up here. So that's been 10 years ago. I was actually pretty young. Y'all were a little bit crazy hiring a 34-year-old pastor. That's pretty amazing. But God's just been in it, and I never thought I'd end up as a lead pastor somewhere. I always thought it'd be youth ministry, but God had other plans, and that's my story, how we kind of came and got connected. So.
I'm Tony Price. I make the coffee. Chris's favorite person over here. So. And Maggie calls me the donut man. So. But I'm actually one of the first members, I guess you might call it. We were actually the first group of people we met out here, actually Phelps Park, just right out the road here by a couple blocks. And at that time, we didn't even know if we was going to have a second meeting. You know, we just was a group of people getting together. What's ironic is our theme for the year is connect. And that's kind of what we were doing, just trying to connect with God to see what he was leading us to do. And it's amazing to see where it's led. And we actually didn't even know where we was meeting the second time when we decided to meet. We actually, I think the second time we met at Foster Falls, all the way out in Carroll County. You know, just trying to find somewhere to connect with God. And my wife and me, we actually started out teaching the kids when we broke up into that. And it's just amazing that 13 years later, we're right here two blocks away from where we started.
Thank you. I'll take us into the 1 o'clock hour now. I will share something else with you about Mike. Does anybody here go to school with Mike? Anybody that old? Anybody? Okay. You all may not know this, but Mike is an extreme introvert. I mean, he really doesn't like to talk a whole lot. And even when we first came here, he was quite reserved and about talking and things of that sort. So I really think God has done a lot working through him. Don't you think he does a good job? Let's give him a hand. But my name is Randy Kegley, and Cheryl and I had been attending a traditional church, and it's actually a church I had grown up in. And I thought that's the only way church was. You come together, you open up the brown book, and you sing, and you did all this other stuff, and then you went home. And we kind of become disenchanted with the leadership and the direction of the church and everything's going, so we kind of backed away a little bit. And a friend of mine invited me to come to Cornerstone. And actually what he said, I thought it was kind of funny. He said, I'll tell you what, Randy. He said, if you'll come to this church, I think you're going to like it so much, you'll never go away. Well, that's kind of a big statement, but 10 years later, we're still seeing, you know. It's been here about 9-10 years. Some of the things that I like the most, as you see, is it's a casual environment, casual dress, because we don't need to come to church to try to impress with each other with our new shirt or our sport jacket. But if you all were here last week, you see my new shirt and my sport jacket, because that's the first time I've worn it in a year. But we really like the people and the friendliness and everything. But the thing that really stuck with me and what we'll be discussing, Cornerstone does things for people. not just the people that come to church here, not just people who are close into the church or whatever, but reach out in the community. And my particular area of service is to serve others in volunteering. And we actually go out in the community. We help people in our church, but we'll help people in the community that doesn't have a church or even attends another church and serve them. We've actually served people and done things for people that we don't even know their name. And that just amazes me. And that's kind of the core of one of the values of what Cornerstone's about, is serving others, not just in here, but outside the church, and to be a blessing to someone and to be blessed by doing that.
So, you know, these guys are all elders. If you came in the back steps here, you saw Jack J-Lo probably greeted you at the bottom. He is one of our elders as well. He shared a little bit first service about how he got connected here. And it's just neat seeing how God has brought each person and put into place. The elders here serve three-year terms, and they can serve actually two terms back-to-back. Larry Van Hoos has been one of the elders. He is actually rotating off this year, and Randy is actually rotating back on because he's been off a year. And we do that so that the guys have a chance to rest for a little bit. Although, did you say you got a lot of rest the last year? I'm not going to talk about my sabbatical month of rest where I ended up with a heart attack in the hospital. It's been an interesting year, to say the least here. God has kind of brought us together. And I wanted to share a little bit about you've heard a little bit about the history right here of the church. I want to put a picture of our logo on the screen and kind of explain some meaning behind it. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but, you know, our church is Cornerstone. And a cornerstone is kind of that first block they lay when they build a building. It's kind of that. And so our logo kind of reflects that. It's a cube within a cube here. But also the outer cube represents three arrows pointing out. And as a church, we're a very outwardly focused church. And there's three words there. And I'll kind of read a statement that we've used for several years now. That Cornerstone Community Church will be a disciple-making church that is changing our community for Christ. That's who we are. We will be a church that helps people experience new life in Christ. We will be a church that we will focus on ways to equip the church to live out their faith in practical ways. And we will be a church that is indispensable to our community as we engage our community and world for Christ. And so you see those three things that kind of three areas of our mission and vision that we want to continue to focus on, that we want people to meet Jesus, and we want people to experience that new life in Christ, to put their faith or trust in Jesus, to be saved, to be born again, and that new life experience. Then we want to equip them. We want to help train them and help them learn what it means to follow Jesus in their everyday life. But then we want to deploy them, to send them out to engage our community and our world for Christ. And so that really encapsulates who we are. It's a church that we want to do all three things and do all three things well. We want you to experience new life in Christ. We want you to learn and grow. And then we want to send you out into the world to be able to continue sharing. So that's a little bit about our logo and what we aspire to do. There's a passage in Ephesians 4 that talks about what happens as we come together, we grow, we learn, and I'll share that, and then we'll kind of jump into the rest of the service. Ephesians 4 says this. It talks about how a church is put together, and it's interesting to see how, again, how he's placed each person here. He said, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will be no longer immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." I think this is a picture of what the church should look like, that each person finds their place. Each person gets connected to God, gets connected to others, and then what you see is we grow together to be more like Christ in what we do. And so how we want to talk about that, let's talk about what that looks like as we enter into 2018. If you're following along in your notes, here's the first thing I kind of want to share this morning, is we want to help you learn how you can connect with God. It's so vitally important. But, you know, if you want to be part of a church, if you want to be part of the body of Christ, you need to learn how to connect with God. John 15:5, very short verse, very powerful verse. It says, God tells us here that he is the vine and we are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So if we want to stay connected to God, if we want to get connected to God, it means we abide in him. We spend time with him. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, but I want you to hear from these guys. What does it look like? How have you learned to connect with God? And how have you seen people connect with God here at Cornerstone?
All right. For this year, one of the times that I recently just felt like I've grown was at our elder retreat. When we opened up the elder retreat Friday night in October, Mike said one of the first things we want to do is have a 30-minute time of prayer. I was like, wow, 30-minute time of prayer. I'm going to go to sleep, you know. But he explained it a little bit. He's like, well, you know, let's spend a 30 minutes in a spirit of prayer. And that really helped me. And I have Matthew 6:5. Read that real quick. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And that was so evident that day because, you know, I prayed. We were praying for the church, praying for my family, you know, praying for healing, for sickness, and just the normal things that, you know, we all pray for. And then I stopped. And I said, okay, I'm going to listen now. And the last part of that, you know, it's like meditation. Didn't say anything, and I just listened. And just the overwhelming peace that I felt at the end of that spirit of prayer, it you know, I won't forget that. And that has spurred me to carve out those times, if not daily. I'll be honest with you, it won't be daily. but to carve out that time to spend in a spirit of prayer.
I guess I'll fill in for Jack since he wasn't here. But Jack was here. He spoke about one of our elder meetings. Mike encouraged us and challenged us to be more in the Word. And Jack spoke about that last service. But I've actually tried to do that this year as well. And, you know, God wants to bless us. You know, that's what he's there for, is to bless us. That's what because we're his children. And there's a passage in Mark 8 where he healed a blind man. And at first, when he actually spits on the guy's eyes, and it doesn't completely heal him. You know, most people would just be satisfied because he hadn't seen for his whole life. You know, and so he took and let Jesus ask him, said, how's that? And he said, I can't quite see as good as I should. You know, most people would have just took that and run with it and said, hey, I can see. And but he wanted all of God's blessing. He wanted Jesus's blessing. And I got that this 2 weeks ago, actually. I'd read that passage, and then I heard someone speaking on it as well, and it kind of kind of drove it home. But that's what God wants from us. You know, he's not a jealous God. He loves us, and he wants to bless us in every aspect of our lives.
I went with them on the elders' retreat this year. I wasn't an elder, but I did all the cooking. If it had been an old Western, my name would have been Cookie. But whenever they ask everybody to go out and spend 30 minutes in prayer, so I thought, well, I'll do that too. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like, this story is about like what most of us are. I decided to go outside at the pavilion, you know, at Camp Dickinson, the pavilion and everything. And I went out there, and instead of praying, I was counting deer. There was about 15 to 20 deer down there, and I went to the truck and got my binoculars and tried to find a buck in the group, you know. So that's the way we do when we pray, or we say we're going to pray. We get distracted. It doesn't take much. Sometimes an eight-pointer will really make you focus in a different direction then. But it got too dark, and God said, all right, it's dark, you can't see the deer, let's hear what you got to say. So I was kind of looking for some guidance of where I needed to be in my life right then at the moment, what I wanted to do for Cornerstone, what I needed to do for the kingdom and everything. And, you know, God's brought me a long ways. I'm not really a good person now, but, you know, I used to be worse. So I think we're making progress that way. But God talked to me a little bit about where he wanted me to go, and he left me in question a little bit so I could kind of dig and things. And to connect with him through prayer is something I feel is very important. With our service group, a lot of times whenever we're trying to pull together a team to go help someone, it's a little bit of a struggle. And being human, I get discouraged, and I start getting frustrated with the whole situation, and I'll just go to prayer, or I'll go to the Bible or something like that, and just like, there's the answer, right in front of you. So, and I kind of get aggravated with myself because, is this thing louder? I fixed it. Every time we have a problem, we need to go to God in prayer and go to the Bible, and he will put the answer in front of you. Maybe not that hard, but sometimes it will come along. So that's one of the things that I've learned to connect with God this year.
I think what you're hearing from everybody is, if, you know, the first step is we need to connect with God. There's no shortcuts to that. We want shortcuts. We want the quick and easy answer. If you want to connect with God, it takes time. And the time is time in prayer, time in listening, time in getting into his word and reading. And actually, next week, we're kicking off a series here called The Power of Routine. And we're going to be talking about how we connect with God. We're going to talk about Bible reading. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about fasting, another thing you don't hear a lot about in church. And we're going to talk about community. And so those things, that's where we're going next week. I'll kind of give you a little, first of the year is such a great time to start new habits. I'll give you a little preview of what a way you can connect with God and get in his word a little better. There's an app that I've been using for the last month and a half, 2 months, called Read Scripture. Really neat app on your phone or tablet. And the thing I like about it is for most days there's a video that goes along with it. So the video kind of explains the theme of what you're about to read and how it ties in with the rest of Scripture. The videos are from the Bible Project. If you've watched any of their stuff, it's really interesting, really cool. Then you have a Scripture passage. And so all together, about 10, 15 minutes. And so just a great way to not just read Scripture, but understand it and see how it ties together. So the Bible Project also has reading plans on YouVersion. I know a lot of you use that app as well, and those same videos are on there. But just let me encourage you, as you start off, let's get in the Word. And, you know, and not just to check off a box, but just to spend time with God, to hear from him, let him to direct your life. There really is no other way to grow outside of God's Word. I mean, we can pray, but when you get into God's Word, you start hearing from him. You don't depend on someone else to feed you. You start learning yourself, and that's huge. So, and that's the first step. Let me kind of jump in the second step. When not only we connect with God, we want you to connect with each other. That's going to be a major focus for us here at Cornerstone this year. We want to see people get connected. And the truth is, we need community. We need to be connected to each other. We see that in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, we see how the early church was connected. It says all the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they were learning together. They were growing into fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold property and possessions, shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And you see the result of all this community that they were experiencing. It says, all the while they praised God and enjoyed the goodwill of the people, and each day the Lord added to their number, or added to their fellowship, those who were being saved. And so what we see here is that as we connect with each other, man, the world sees something in us that's so different and that's so needed. They're drawn to it. It allows people to see Jesus through us. So why don't we share a little bit about how we connect with each other? I know there's lots of ways we do that here at Cornerstone. We do that through our life groups. We do that through serving alongside each other. You do it through just spending time with each other, through fellowship, so all sorts of things. Who wants to share about that a little bit?
So, yeah, I mentioned kind of how we got connected was through a life group. And, you know, we started coming here, and we kind of wanted to know, you know, where God was leading us to go as a couple and as a family. But kind of what drew us to Cornerstone was really that it was all about Jesus. It wasn't about Cornerstone. You know, if we went to a couple service projects and the name Cornerstone was never mentioned, you know, we're just out doing things and in the name of Christ. And if people asked, of course, we'd say we're from Cornerstone, but we weren't saying this is from Cornerstone. It was all this is from Jesus, you know. And it talks about the verse Mike just read, connecting with each other motivates us to be more connected with God. You know, I came here and I think one of the first series we went through, a sermon series, was about the core values, and they're on the wall back in the cafe. And what was neat is that it's not just things that were talked about or taught or mentioned. It's things that the people in this church lived out. You know, generosity is one of those, and it's got a picture on the wall back there. It's a picture of a church that was built in Nicaragua before this church had a home. So this church was bouncing around in the schools and meeting in different areas, but they actually built a church building in Nicaragua first. So I don't know. It's just awesome to see the sacrificial and, you know, giving it all to God and giving it to Christ and letting Christ live through the people here that drew us to Cornerstone. And like I said, it motivates us to be more connected with God, because I'm like, wow, these people can do it. So can I. God gives us the power to do it. So.
I'll share a quote here before you share. I had a few people share some quotes with me this week, and I talked to some of our leaders. And Don Smythe, who some of you know, he's on our administrative team. And him and his wife, Patty, they recently, 2 years ago, moved up here from Charlotte area. And he had been attending on and off. They had a kind of a vacation home here. But here's what he said. He said, since Patty and I joined Cornerstone about 2 years ago, we found that joining life groups has been the best way to get to know others in the church. And the studies continually help us think about and deepen our faith. We particularly like the Anatomy of a Disciple sermon series and life group because the premise that we need to be humbly submitted and biblically formed is so central to everything else. He said, similarly, though, to participating in life groups, serving with the community meal has been enjoyable and has allowed us to meet others within our church and be involved with our community. It's great when you run into a person around town somewhere that you first met at the community meal. And so you've heard, you know, already there's several service project areas here at church. There's a lot of ministries here that when you're serving alongside someone, it's amazing how you get connected on a spiritual level where you realize you are brothers and sisters in Christ and that you have a greater purpose and calling on your life than simply what's in it for me. So there's a lot of that takes place when we serve and we get connected with each other.
I've also been involved in several life groups and have actually led about four, and really, really enjoyed that that time together and connect. And the very first one we did, I wanted to do a men's life group, and it's going to be at my house in my car shop and with the workbench and everything like that. And I invited a few guys, and one of the guys said, hey, my wife wants to come and join our group. I said, we're going to be in a car shop. It smells like oil, and it's greasy, and it may be a little bit cool. He said, man, she'll love that. Well, it turned out we ended up with five couples. The other wives came too. And what we did, since it was the time frame, we also had her meal, and we cooked out there in my shop. I've got a little two-burner camp stove, and we would cook soup, and we do different stews, and we fried fish one time, and we just had a big time, and it was a great time together, and I grew very close to those. But also the biggest thing that I have found for me as of recent is in our serving. Those people who on the service team, and we go out and do things, I've gotten very close with them. I mean, Tim over there, I enjoy doing things with him and talking, and you know, find out he's got a motorcycle, I've got a motorcycle, so you know, we both like bugs in our teeth. There's a lot of things that you can find. Chris Dennis back there, I mean, he is really handy to have around. I've grown very close to him, and I found that if we have a second story apartment, if he and I grab a sofa and he's on the top and I'm on the bottom, the sofa comes down the steps level. So it's really handy to have friends, and you grow very close to them. But all the people that's on the service team, I've really got close to, involved in their lives, and I was serious. But it's a great time to be together. As of recent, just within the past 3 weeks, we helped a family move into a home. It was 20 degrees, wind snowing, and the wind was blowing, and we were having a blast out there. Not a cold blast, but just we was having a lot of fun moving this family in, and the feeling to know that we helped them get in their home before Christmas and everything was great. And one of the things that we always do with our service team is when we help somebody before we leave, we'll gather in a circle and hold hands, and we'll have prayer and pray for that family that we've just helped in whatever capacity it may be. And that's just a true blessing. And so we enjoy that. And if anybody wants to come out and have fun with us, we will. We'll take anybody who'd like to have that kind of blessing from God.
So one of the things we see in a Cornerstone, and we know this, we've all experienced, you've already heard stories, is that you can come to church and attend, and you can be encouraged and maybe learn more about who Jesus is, but until you get connected with other people, you don't really see a lot of growth. I've always heard, and you've heard me share this before, that truth taught in the context of relationship changes lives. And that's what happens. When we get together, when we move from rows to circles, what happens is you start actually getting to share and ask questions and learn things that you can't do on Sunday morning. And so you do that in life groups. It's a great way to do that at Cornerstone. You do that through serving alongside each other. And we've got so many ministries here. Randy mentioned our service team. Don mentioned our community meal. But we've got our children's ministry that people are serving alongside of. That's a family that, I mean, when you just grow close. Our hospitality team that's here to greet you and you know, serve coffee and make sure everything's ready on Sunday morning. They get together and have fellowship and pray before you guys even arrive on Sunday morning. We've got our security team. We've got our youth ministry. We've just got so many ministry, our technology stuff, life group leaders, there's all these community events. Lots of ways here you can get connected with each other, but it means that you have to take that first step. All right, we can't do that. And so I want to challenge you this year. How can you think about getting connected with other people here in the church? The third way we want to talk about how we want to grow this year is we want to help you connect with the world. And the truth is that a lot of people just aren't going to come knocking down our doors. We need to take the message of Christ to them. So how do we take the message of Christ? Romans 12 talks about that. Romans 12, right before this, I'm going to pick up in verse 14, but right before it, it talks about, okay, here's how you're saved. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. But then in Romans 10, 14, it says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And so we, as leadership of the church, we are sending you out. We hope that this church, and we know church is not just what happens on Sunday morning. The church is the people. The church is what happens when we leave this place and we take Jesus into the world around us. So we want Sunday mornings to be a time of preparation for you so that you can go out and share. So with that being said, let's talk about that just a minute, how you've seen God grow and move and work in your life and lives of others through connecting with the world around us. Who wants to go?
Like I spoke earlier when we first started, was talking about when we first started out, you know, this connection with God first, and then we had to actually connect with each other, and then to connect with the world after that, and to see where we've grown in the last 13 years. Praising in the Park this year was probably the best Praising in the Park I think I've been to this year. It wasn't, but I think the turnout might have been not quite as big as far as kids. But we reached a lot of kids out there that probably don't go to church or don't get any church any other time. But we had over 100 volunteers, and that's probably the most volunteers and the smoothest it's ever went for a whole week. We always had people there, and you know, you can share God's word better if you're not in a hurry. You know, we had kids come through the line. I didn't get to share this with the first service, but we had kids come through the line that was just really grateful for the meal that they was getting, you know, when they would come for breaks and stuff. And if you get a chance to serve at Praising in the Park, or even the Christmas thing, it was kind of smaller this year. But I was telling Sharon earlier that I talked to some people that have been here probably about every year. And to see, and it's probably the only time they come to church. I know one fellow that I talked to, it's the only time he does come here. And he does visit other places. But he has really grown close to God over the, and he was actually into drugs and some other stuff. And he was telling me he shouldn't even have been alive now, you know, but he comes to me and speaks, and we just get to talk, and I've known him quite a while anyway, but it's just to see those connections you make with the people out there that you don't get any other place, and it's probably the only time that you get to speak. So if you get a chance to serve the community, you know, that's great. Come out, we'd be glad to have you.
I just have a verse that came to mind as I was preparing for this morning. It says, in my Bible, it says a little heading. It says, "Shining as stars." And we just finished up the sermon series, The Star. And it's Philippians 2:12. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast in the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing." So that's just, you know, as we help each other and help the community, you know, we are shining like stars and holding out the word of Christ for a hurting world.
I don't want the mic to go cold. One of the things that, as I try to struggle to see what I could do, you know, it's a commandment. The Great Commission is for each one of us to go out and make disciples, and that means to go out and to reach as many people as we can. And I was going through, and I seen a scripture that kind of drove this home a little stronger. It says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" So if you think about what that means, so if you're a Christian and people just can't tell it by the way you talk and things you do. And the other one that goes along with it is what our service team is based on. It's called Galatians 6:10. It said, "As often as you have opportunity, do good to others, especially those in the family of God." Well, I got to tell you, as often as you have opportunity, I will guarantee you before, as you leave here today, before you go to bed tonight, there's going to be several opportunities for you to share Christ. Now, you don't have to take a Bible and bump anybody over the head or anything of that sort, but you can smile at them whenever the cashier in line's had a rough day. You can just share a little something. A little something happens. You can take that opportunity to share with someone. And I'll share with you something that happened at CVS this week, just running to pick up something, and I seen a friend of mine whom I used to play basketball with, and haven't seen him in about 25 years. And as we kind of talked a little bit and everything, we started to go our separate ways. He said, "Bless you, Kegley." Kegley's what everybody calls me there in the rec center, or that, or old school, which is another story. But I froze for just a moment. I turned back around, and I asked him, I said, "Why did you say that?" He said, "Well, Kegley, I'm going to tell you." I said, "I spent 18 years in jail, and I'm a pastor now. I'm living in Radford, and me and a friend of mine, we pastor a church in Roanoke. And each Sunday we get together and we drive to Roanoke and we pastor a church helping people in recovery and things." And boy, my heart just swelled up because, you know, this was a good kid and everything, but I knew what he was doing. It was involved with drugs and things of this sort. And so, you know, he was reaching out to people. And I think every one of us, every single person sitting in here has a spiritual gift, has a special gift. You may not know it, but it is there. You just have to ask God, "God, what is it and how do I use it?" And he'll let you know. But every one of you can touch someone's life in the smallest way. It doesn't have to be an over-pushy type Christian thing. You don't have to tell them everything they're doing wrong. Chances are they already know that. And just something, just a little small time with someone, ask them how they are. How are you really? You know, and just let them know you care and you love them. Another one, Jesus tells us is to love one another as I have loved you. And that goes for everybody.
So any final things before I wrap up? Chris, you got to say something.
One more thing. I just want to make sure, I thought about this first service. I've been thinking about it since we started doing this. We want to make sure that you guys know this is not about us. Like, we've been telling stories. I've done this. I did that. Cornerstone did this. We, you know, I'm in a life group. I read scripture. We're not like spiritually, we're not like these high, mighty, great spiritual, I don't know what the word is, but we're not heroes or anything. We're just like you guys. And that's one of the things that drew me to Cornerstone as well is, you know, all the elders up here and the elders that were at the time, they're sinners in need of Jesus, right? They need a Savior, and that's what we all need. And I just want you guys to realize it's not about us. It's not our vision for Cornerstone. We every week during our elders meeting, we try to help each other stay grounded, make sure it's not Randy's motive or my motive or Mike's motive or anything like that, that we want to take the church the way God wants us to go. And over the last year, you know, we bought this building several years back. The church bought a piece of property. The vision was to build a church there. Not that that was a bad vision, but as time went on and as we, you know, seeked what God wanted us to do, he said, I want you to stay here in Galax. I want you to stay right here on Main Street in this little building and reach as many people as you can in this community. So, again, we just want to make sure that it's not us, it's not our vision, it's what God wants us to do, and we hope you guys will help us to stay on track and keep us all going that way. So,
good stuff. So you've heard a lot today, and it is. That's as a group, I know that's our prayers, that we'll allow God to truly guide us and give us wisdom and direction as to where to go as a church. And it's exciting to see. We were talking, I think, I don't have the number right for me. I think it's 168 people have been baptized here at Cornerstone. 168. That's a lot of lives changed. That's something we can be excited about. We can celebrate. And we've seen that as a church. We've been ascending church, and we've seen that time and time again. We live in a community that a lot of people are moving out, and let's be honest, and we've seen that, but we're seeing them go out, and we've seen a lot of our young people still involved in churches, leading and doing some great things for the kingdom of God. And this church has an impact that goes far beyond this little community right here. It's church that's truly making a kingdom impact. We want to challenge you, kind of as we close, to really think about your place in the body of Christ. When we talk about connecting, each person here, Randy kind of alluded to it, you all have different spiritual gifts. You all have different abilities. You all have different passions. You all have been through different experiences. So how do you use what you've been through? How do you use how God has gifted you, how God has wired you? How do you use it for the good of the kingdom of God? We've said it before that we don't expect everybody to do everything here at Cornerstone, but we do know that everybody can do something. So what is that something for you? How can you take that next step to get connected? Is it serving here on Sunday morning? Is it serving in one of our ministries? Is it getting involved in a life group. What's that next step that you need to take? As we close this morning, I want you just to pray about that. I want you to think about that. How can you really get more connected as we enter into 2018? I'm going to close in prayer. We've got a short little video, and then our praise team is going to come back up and lead us as we close out. I hope this has been encouraging to you this morning. It is a little different, but you've got to hear from our leadership. You've got to meet them, and now you know who these guys are. Feel free to come up to them at any time, reach out to them. It really is important for you guys to know that Cornerstone is more than just me standing on stage or whoever's preaching, but all it's a group of people together that are trusting God to lead us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Our prayer is that you would just continue to give us wisdom and direction and guidance, Lord. And we pray that we will understand that this church is all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about your will for us. And Lord, just use us to help share this the good news, the gospel message, that people, their sins can be forgiven, that they can be redeemed, they can be restored by Jesus. Lord, when we put our faith and trust in you, you forgive us of our sins. You cleanse us from all of our past mistakes. And Lord, you give us a new heart. And we are so thankful for that. We're so thankful that you change lives. And help us just to share that gospel message with as many people as we can. Lord, we thank you this morning and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.